Hey everyone, welcome to our executive committee on February 23rd, 2024 of the Orange County Older Adults Advisory Commission. We are here. This is Pauline's last meeting, so we will enjoy our last time with you.
Let's talk about that, yeah.
Yes, so call the meeting to order and we will move on to the Pledge of Allegiance with Rachel Love.
Please stand if you are able. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Rachel. And Dave is enjoying a wonderful vacation with his wife.
He's down under.
So, Monica, I want to thank you for calling roll.
Darlene Ashendorf. Rachel
present.
Hernandez.
Present.
Crystal Miles.
Present.
Rachel Owens.
Yes.
Sandy Sting.
Present.
And Dave Chetlaw. Yes, form.
Thank you so much, Monica. Also, I know that we don't have the secretary's report, but we do have three folks that have missed two meetings. So when Dave gets back.
Who do we have?
We have Beck Levin. And Monica, who are the two others?
Levin, Irene Rose, and Cynthia Becker.
Yes.
Have we heard from them at all?
Yes, we've heard from Cynthia that she's recovering from a surgery.
No, that's Irene.
Cynthia.
Cynthia yeah. Too? Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
So both of them. I can't remember. Is our process for the Office on Age for your unit to reach out to them or for us to reach out to them to just do a courtesy, like, how are you doing?
It's basically us.
Okay.
If we, well.
Us being who?
Office on Aging. If they have missed three.
Right.
They're done.
Right.
If they have missed two.
Yes.
If we have the time to reach out and say, hey, heads up, you've missed two meetings.
Yes.
If you miss the next one,
yes.
You're off. I think they've all missed three.
They've missed two.
They've missed two. We should give them a heads up and send an email. I can send it. You can send it, whatever the case may be. Just to say heads up, you've missed your two meetings. If you miss the next meeting, then you will automatically vacate your seat.
But there's ways to word that so we don't come
yeah.
up like that. It's more, hey, obviously priorities change, people get busy, it looks like you're unable to make our
of
meetings.
Course.
And then
of course.
But it's not the next meeting, it's a third meeting in the year.
No,
it's three in a row.
It's three in a row.
Or four.
Or five.
Oh, five. Oh, five. Okay.
Half of each.
So they're
amazing. Would they have to reapply if they missed the third one?
They would. And there's no provision in the bylaws, and this was discussed at length, as you know, for exceptions to
right.
the rule.
Right.
You know.
We wish them well, whatever the circumstances.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because, you know, hindsight in 2020, you know, looking at an illness, like Irene Rose had hip replacement or knee replacement or something. So she's out for quite a while.
Yeah.
You know, and she was just getting started.
That should be an exception.
Yeah.
We should have some ability to.
Well, that's, we put that to bed
we
for
put
now.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you do me a favor? Can you check? Was Irene Rose a board appointee? Can you check and see?
Yeah.
I don't think the other two were, but I think Irene may be.
Yeah.
And Cynthia just rejoined.
Right.
Yeah, and she's
just not a
that was a medical thing though, wasn't it? For her?
She should have waited until she had her surgery and then applied.
Yeah.
So there's strategy and when to apply to. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Office on Aging, CPR, for following up with those three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we are on to public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the commission regarding any items within the subject matter jurisdiction. Do we have any comments, Monica?
No.
Thank you. And now over to Pauline for Office on Aging updates.
Okay. Nothing much going on my end. As you all know, I'm on my way out the door, retiring. But I am working on the area plan. The presentation is going to take place on March 8th.
Are you working on a replacement for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There will be someone replacing me. And I'll at liberty to discuss.
Not that you can be replaced, but yeah.
Yes, everybody can be replaced. But thank you very much for that comment. I think she will be very good. You know, I can't tell you who it's going to be right now, But there will definitely be someone taking my place.
I hope it's somebody that wants to do it and cares about
this. Yeah, and I think this person will be a good fit for you guys. So area plan, I'll put together the PowerPoint presentation. I believe Claudia will be giving the presentation on the 8th. And I did bow out, just so you know, not to do the area plan. It just happens to be the end of the pay period on the 7th.
Yeah.
And payroll does not like it if you come either into the system halfway through the period or you leave the system halfway through. They want you.
Well, they don't want to pull off their calculator.
Right.
Yeah.
That's basic.
That's it. I know. It's the private sector does that too.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
no calculator.
I came into the system a week into the payroll period, and it caused a
yes. We understand. We understand.
Yeah. So, but other than that, master plan for aging is still forging ahead. We're still waiting on results and tabulating. The results and getting the analysis done. So haven't heard anything back on that right now. We're still meeting weekly. We just had a meeting this week. And then we'll be meeting next week as well. We did get a LADAP, LADAP, LADAP grant from the state to help with the master plan for aging in the amount of $200,000. So
which does
it's LADAP, it's the local agency development something or other. I don't know what the acronym stands for. We applied for the grant and we're allowed to use it for the master plan for aging, and we received it. So that is really good. That helps.
Yeah. But in what way? What does that mean? You're hiring staff?
Not quite sure yet, because in order to put the plan together, it's going to take someone at the helm to coordinate with all the different agencies. To do that, and we're trying to figure that out as to who or what which agency would be the best agency to take the lead on that. And then the question comes into play as to, well, what agency got the grant, you know, and can it be passed? So there's a whole bureaucratic system involved.
So that's the part of things you're not.
No, I will not.
Yeah.
No, I will not miss that part.
Yeah, that's hard.
I just I'm a get things done.
That's hard.
Yeah. Follow the rules, get things done.
Yeah.
Don't sit in your hands, do nothing. So I will not miss that part.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
I do have one question from you. So this document that I sent, which was meant to be my committee report, I could just simply send it to this group with no comments, or they now have to walk into this blind after it's on the agenda?
No, the process should be that when the ad hoc committee develops its recommendations, those recommendations should be presented to the executive committee, and then from
the just like we did with the bylaws.
Exactly. Same process.
Yeah.
Same process.
Like I wasn't communicating with Jean at all during the bylaws.
Right.
He appointed the ad hoc committee. We worked on the bylaws, and then once we were done, we came back here.
Yeah. So I think this is good, but if you have, what's this consensus? Your ad hoc committee consists of you, Dave Wheeler,
Nathan Steele,
and Ken Hank.
Okay, so now we're on to discussion item A, 2024 goals. As a reminder, we met with the Board of Supervisors last year, Jean and I, and the consensus from them was that they wanted us to focus on information and assistance for everyone to know where to go for help, for caregiver resources, and for aging in place, with the fourth topic being transportation after those three. And they requested that we keep in touch with them by public comment, and also that we produce a quarterly report. So that's kind of the overarching framework of what their feedback was.
And they provide us a representative from their office.
Yes. Yeah. And so far we've had one representative come from.
You had Damiana from Sarmiento's, and then you had Trisha from Wagner's office at the last meeting.
Oh, I didn't get to meet Trisha.
Yeah, she was over in the corner.
Oh, great. Okay, wonderful. And so we have 2 out of the 5. And so hopefully the other 3 will be sending reps. I know that the last time that Priscilla and I spoke to Supervisor Foley, she went over in her office and they were thinking about who they would send.
No.
Yes. So that kind of leads us into how are we going to achieve these goals? We know what they were, and that's where the ad hoc committee comes in.
That's
so
really
thank you. Thank you so much, Rachel, for chairing that. I know that you have a lot of lively members of that group that have volunteered, that have strong opinions. And I always also like to think that although we would like to make immediate changes, we're kind of in the business of incremental activism.
We met for 3 hours last Friday, and we have 3 hours on the books for today.
Oh, God bless you.
3 hours.
God bless you.
Well, because we wanted, so we took those 4 items and we talked about all the things that sort of impact the communities that we represent, right? And then try to pull together a direction to make some ultimate recommendations. The 2 that are going to come to the top with this group and their recommendations is going to be aging in place and information access. We just need to make some real headway in how to present the information and get the information out into the
beautiful
public. And the other...
Can I say something about that? I was just on the... are you guys familiar with the CCOC? The California Commission on Aging. They're kind of like a quasi-governmental agency that are out of the state. They were talking yesterday about their goals for this year, and California scored pretty high nationwide for long-term services and support, but the weakest area in California was information and assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we are not, as a state, meeting our LTSS goals and especially our equity goals for people that don't already know how to navigate the system. So I just thought that that kind of coincided with what we're experiencing here at the county.
And it also came to light in the POLCO needs assessment.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, interesting.
The other piece that I think you're going to see us have some recommendations on is this aging in place program. Nathan was very articulate about what is happening in Rossmore leisure world, in that, you know, we have lots of people who own their own homes or own their own units, and they are being squeezed in every regard with doubling of their association dues, increases in their water programs, increases in their costs for electricity.
The rest of the world.
And the rest of the world, right?
Yeah, we're all doing that.
This is such a you know,
they're a microcosm.
And so you'll see on here somewhere that we talked in terms of people who are house rich and
dollar poor.
And I think when we talk about developing programs or evaluating programs, although the low end of the income spectrum is very important, I think we are recognizing that we are slowly pushing middle income folks into this same category.
You want to know the technical term? The near poor.
The near poor.
The near poor is the term?
Near poor. Yeah.
Where do you hear all these terms?
I'm working this whole time.
The near poor.
So I think that that's probably going to be where we focus on trying to provide some specific recommendations, but going to hold that off until after the area plan. There was also a lot of complaint that the area plan is being presented to us in a public meeting, and a feeling that the big committee is going into that blind. I'm just sharing with you.
No, please do.
The perception from those 4 members is that all kinds of things are going on in the Office on Aging. We sort of get these reports, but we don't know.
No, we do trust them to do the professional work, and then we give comments.
They are important.
Yeah.
I mean, Well, that's the question. Do we report to them or do they report to us? Or
we're an advisor. We're
you're an advisory. I mean,
I'm just sharing.
No. Yes. Totally get it, Rich.
Thank you for sharing.
I mean, you need to be clear with them that we are an advisory.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say
we're not a board of directors. We are an advisory group.
Say that we report to them. What I mean is we are under their umbrella.
Yeah.
And so they control kind of, you know, the information flow, because like Claudia is really the person who we have to go through to get anything past, you know, over the Rainbow Bridge there. So
yeah, and in terms of the area plan, we're required to follow a specific format for that and a process that's established by the state. This is not Olin Coleman or Claudia.
It's not a need assessment.
No, it's not. We are specifically required to follow that process. And the process says that we have to have a public hearing. A public hearing is not, let's have a public hearing for the older advisory commission only.
Right.
It's for the public at large. At which point the commission has an opportunity to give their input. And actually we are required, before we submit the area plan, to write in there if there was any input from the public hearing that would alter or change our recommendations or stats in the area plan before we send it. So we're required to put that in there. So
yeah. In my opinion, the area plan is required, and the streams of money from the federal government to the state government to here are just being kind of put in their spots.
I don't know. That's basically
it. There's not a lot of wiggle room that we would affect, in my opinion.
There is in terms of
suggestions
and programs. Like you'll see if you read the area plan, you'll see that there's a couple of new things that are going in there. The state changed the format for it this year, which is very different. It's not super different. They were trying to consolidate and make it shorter. Instead, it went the other way.
Right.
But, you know, honestly, we do value. Rachel, if you can explain to them, I don't want to put you on the spot either. I'm more than happy to talk to the three of them anytime.
I'm pretty strong.
Yeah, I know. But the way the process works, first and foremost, were they expecting a presentation to OAC only?
No.
Or were they expecting?
Well, maybe in advance of the public presentation. But what I had suggested initially to this group was that we wait to even start talking until after the area plan and had been presented, so we would have some idea of what the Office on Aging is already allocating in the way of priorities.
Right.
And then bring that back to our or the committee's
and
recommendations.
You guys should all have a copy of the area plan,
draft
area plan.
Right.
So you should be reviewing that right now and be prepared when you come to the meeting on March 8th to state your case.
Yeah,
that's the 30 days. How much more notice do they want?
And everybody received that, right?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Not only OAC, but all of our service providers received it as well, because it impacts them.
Somebody's not reading that email.
Or not liking the process. And that's okay.
That's not liking the process.
That's okay.
I'm saying you love the process. So everyone has different opinions. And I'm glad.
I know. Thank you.
Glad that you're...
And the newer people, aren't they?
Yes.
See, I think it's the newness.
Yeah.
That would be my opinion.
I also think it's the philosophy of how to make change. I know that I spoke to one of the ad hoc committee members, that person, just basically like the government at every level start over, but we're not doing that.
No. I mean, and looking at some of this as well, I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of this within your purview, so a lot of it that's not within your purview.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to share with you the wide range of
Yes. 3 hours.
Yeah. Very worthwhile.
I wanted to make some comments based on what I see.
Thank you.
Okay, so for the overlapping resources study, the state is doing a gap analysis for all long-term services and supports. They're doing that for the Medi-Cal programs for people that are qualified for Medi-Cal. And then the California Department of Aging also has a separate $5 million study that they're doing on the gap analysis.
Sorry, who is that?
Department of Aging has a $5 million study that they're contracting for right now for non-Medi-Cal, so for the near poor services and the middle class services. So those things probably won't be available, I would say, for like another year or two, but it is something that's occurring on the state level. Identify gaps in county services. Yeah, that's what we're doing all the time, is identifying gaps. And I think that that's where we got to some of our three goals for 2024, but that is definitely access to services, food program, at least four areas. My first take on the food programs is we've had more food than ever before.
Absolutely.
For older adults, it's funded at a higher level than ever before because of Meals on Wheels, Grab and Go, food pantries, Second Harvest. There's a lot of food out there. So maybe this is more of a information problem than an actual food problem.
I think it's a newness. I think Sandy hit the nail on the head. I think it's a lack of awareness as to what the Office on Aging does.
Yeah, so I would say that we're good with the food, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the information that's getting out there, but the food is there. Inflation, we're not going to handle that.
Nope.
No, but that is part of what is impacting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. A lot of this too is how do we get information from CalOptima? Because CalOptima is like, you know, a third of our county now is receiving CalOptima services.
Is that what it is? A third?
A third, including older adults. And a lot of those services, again, you have to ask for them. You can have the insurance, but you have to ask for the housing support and the medically tailored meals and the home modifications that they can do.
Which I think Sandy says that we need a general presentation on CalOptima. I mean, a specific in more in depth.
Oh, no, I'm familiar with CalOptima. I just didn't know it was a third.
No, I understand that. I mean, in the general committee.
Presentation. When you say a third of Orange County residents over the age of 65.
Oh, you're saying generally.
Yes.
It's probably similar or higher for older adults.
And probably as that income shift happens, this is...
Well, and the asset test is eliminated. So before you had to have few assets to apply for Medi-Cal, and now that has been eliminated by the state. Yeah.
It has been eliminated?
So it's just income-based, but you could have a lot of assets.
Again, being house rich and all.
Yes. Yeah. So all of those people can now apply for Medi-Cal and then get those services, which would lead them into adult day, because adult day is one of the services that's paid for by CalOptima. Fall prevention, that's the matter of balance here at the Office on Aging. So that's available at the senior centers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again, I think this all comes down, a lot of this comes down to access to information and where people are
going
to
get it.
Yeah. Well, maybe that brings us to discussion item B. Okay.
Well, hang on before we go there. Can I just jump to the Office on Aging questions?
Oh.
What is the budget? Talk to me about that a little bit, Rachel, in terms of...
Well, and it's...
And how big is the staff? The org chart is in the...
Is that the whole staff?
The org chart that's with the area plan is not only the Office on Aging staff, but it's also OCCS as well.
The real feeling, again... I'm guilty, Nathan and Ken are also business advisors. So they look at things and they say, we have no key indicators. We do not
know.
Well,
we ask Claudia to do something like CalOptima does, that's just a high level.
Exactly.
This is what we're doing. This is our key metrics and this is our budget.
Right.
Agreed.
That's what we requested. So I think that that is what this is.
That is what that is.
Yeah. And we have not received a response on it. No response.
Somebody else under.
So, there was no response. So what does the group want to do? You were BCC'd on that email that I sent to Claudia requesting a high level report. We have not received a response. So
this is support from.
So
we want to continue to.
What do we want? Do we want to? Should I email her back again? What do you all want us to do to try to get this information?
I'd like to see it as a permanent piece on our budget, so that it's just not a verbal report from the Office on Aging, but something tangible that
so you want me to add it to the agenda for the next general meeting, written report?
Good idea.
I think so.
Is it written or verbal? And someone could
we don't want it. A verbal
we
report.
We don't want a verbal report.
We want it to be part of our
packet. Yeah, we want a packet.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense.
You know, at OCTA and all the other
agencies. Yeah, they do. They do.
So the question will be, do you need it every month at every meeting, or do you need it periodically?
They can do it every month.
I'd like to see it every month.
Okay. It's not something they can't do. That's easy to do.
So, and that's part of that overall understanding, Pauline, of
It builds confidence,
transparency, which is a word I say, but
okay. Well, then I will email Claudia back and let her know that we're going to agendize this, and then I will add it to the agenda.
Well, ask her if there's any problem. Why we can't get this? Is there an issue? Is she going to say it's staff or?
I don't. Why do we need to ask if it's a problem? It's a normal thing to do.
Oh, I thought we already asked. We're not getting it.
There was no reply.
Okay, then that's what we say. We've asked about this. We've got no reply. Is there an issue?
I still want to put it on
I don't
the
know.
Agenda.
I don't know.
I prefer your way.
Yeah.
Put it on the agenda.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I would let it know.
Why aren't we getting this? Maybe it's just not seen on the emails.
Books, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. No, that's fine. Do it your way.
Okay. So that's what we'll do.
At least we'll work once. If we don't get it, then we know it's
another
issue.
Yeah. Right.
Address.
The other issue that's noted there under Office on Aging, I think we'd really like to see, have the committee understand that the RFP process and how they can impact decisions and reviews, because I think you put out a request for somebody to be part of the review. I don't know that you get a lot of response one way or another, but we haven't really discussed what the value is on our members serving on those panels.
Got it.
Okay. That's it.
And we can't be the primary source of evaluators because, well, at least in my experience, having done this before on the master plan RFP, it was a lot of county staff too. So I was like the representative from here and then those other county staff from different agencies.
Right. Right. And that's usually the process. I mean, we normally have people that are subject matter experts on it. So we know what to ask and we know when to we have COCO review it for legalities. And then we have a variety of people from.
And Marco was on it too.
Yeah. Also, like I just don't know if they're being on now.
Yeah.
You know, there's other people like from here. We're required, actually by bylaws, to have you guys.
Exactly.
Invite you guys to be part of the process.
But to say it clearly so that members understand that it's valuable for somebody or two.
It is. It's very valuable.
I turned down the last two because one of my clients was getting on the project.
And then for the supervisors, how do we schedule meetings with the supervisors? Well, we've done that.
Again, we were just capturing 3 hours worth of
This is good.
But we did that. It's very easy. You just call their chief staff, say we need to set up a meeting.
Well,
that's their job.
It'll certainly be more open if all five supervisors send a representative to our council meetings.
We met with all five. We asked, they all said they would. So.
Well, we need to follow up now.
Yeah,
we're doing some incremental activism.
This last bullet point where it says participate in the finalization of OOA area plan input and feedback during the development of the plan. They need to understand the development of the plan is the role of the Office on Aging. Input and suggestions. This plan isn't developed by.
This is a standard rulemaking process that they're not familiar with. But they actually didn't. It's good.
We are open to suggestions and feedback, but if certain members of that group think we're going
to
sit down and
encourage them as I here somewhere, review what was already sent and come prepared on March 8th to have some questions.
Right, exactly.
And then we'll dig into it more.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the way that I guess that working in government affairs, the way it works is the agencies are the ones that develop the plans. Then they issue the 30-day comment period. Anyone can write a comment letter during that period as an individual or as an organization if they're part of another organization. And then there's the public hearing.
Right.
And then after that,
we take all those, whatever suggestions, and then we look at the plan.
Yeah.
And say, well, is Meredith's comment going to impact this? And if it's not, or like the last area plan, there were like a couple of comments about the format of the presentation. The color wasn't right, or the font was too small, or whatever. Well, that's not going to, that's not going to, you know, impact
so
the plan.
Where we are right now is in this 30-day comment.
Correct.
So
correct.
I'm reading it too.
So they can make a, they can send the comment letter in.
Yeah.
Will it be too late to comment at the meeting?
No. Okay. That's the whole purpose of it. During that 30-day period, everyone has an opportunity to comment. You can send an email. You can send a letter. Do a phone call. You can even wait until the public hearing.
What do you think about maybe just a reminder, sending it out again and saying, as a reminder, I think that's fair value. So, I mean, I know you sent it out. We're not babysitting. But if you send it out again, just say, you know, the meeting on March 8th, these are the documents that we'd like to look at ahead of time and have any comments.
I printed about 20 of those pages and made myself notes.
It's a good idea.
Right, because it is way, if somebody at the meeting says, well, we can say, well, we sent it twice. So
I'm happy to set the stage at the meeting somehow if we want to about how this works at all.
I thought I did
government.
At the last meeting. I'm during the presentation. Did I not say, please, please, please?
Yeah, you did.
They don't know that this is standard operating procedure at all levels of government. I think that's the problem. They're not dealing with CMS and the state and the county. Mm-hmm. They don't know that this is how it works.
Mostly.
I think that that's the problem.
I agree.
It's in front of them for the hour or 2 hours or 3 hours that we need
to. And there
you know, I thought about this the other day.
It's right there.
Hope after our meeting, our OAC meeting on the 8th, that everyone doesn't say, see you later, bye, and bail. Because if they do, and if we hear a word back about, oh, we didn't have a chance.
That's why I think it's important to send it out again.
I will
come
back and
haunt
them.
And remind them we need to schedule our time after this.
Well, we're having a lot of growing pains, and it's just part of the process.
We have a lot of new people.
Yeah.
And you know, I already warned somebody that last year's presentation was a little over 2 hours, and I found myself starving at 3 o'clock when I finally got a chance to eat.
Bring your own lunch.
So I got my own lunch.
Yeah, bring a picnic for yourself.
Because, you know, we should end at 11. OAC should end at 11, and then we should.
We'll have a 15-minute break.
Yeah, cannot start any earlier than what's been published, the time, which is 11:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we may decide that we don't want to have it on the same day.
In the future. And that is an option, because at some point, we were thinking about doing it on a totally different day, calling a special meeting of SCAC to do it.
Yeah.
So,
So we'll evaluate that after this year.
So it's either stay for 3 hours longer or come back in for another meeting.
And we can prep all that, but if you send out that other email.
I will send.
And you could say, reminder.
I'll send an email.
This is immediately following and there will not be a lunch service. So,
bring your food.
Bring the trail
mix. BYOF.
Yeah. Monica, I'll send that email. I'll copy you on it so you have it.
Thank you.
Then nobody can say, my big thing is
there anything else that you would like us to comment on?
No, thank you.
That's helpful for your group.
Thank
you. Nope. Tara, I did want to go, sorry, I don't get interrupted, but to backtrack back to attendance, it is the secretary's responsibility in the bylaws to send that notification out. But if I don't know how long Dave's going to be gone.
Almost a month.
Okay, then I can meet with Courtney to see if we have a template that we can send out, but it is going to be his responsibility.
And that'll be, they'll miss their third meeting.
No. So I'll meet with Paula so that way we can give them the notification to see if we have a template or something. But yeah, it is secretaries and the bylaws. And then Irene is SCAC. She's a SCAC member.
Okay.
Yeah.
Black.
Yes. Sorry.
A different
L. That was Steinhauer.
Thank you. Okay, so we're on the discussion item B, and I want to set the stage a little bit for this too. So, when Jean became chair, and I became vice chair, we were kind of at a crossroads with the old SCAC. about people feeling like they were involved in a meaningful endeavor and trying to get chairs and all this thing. So we met with Renee. And so we met with Renee Ramirez because Claudia's position was then vacant. Renee is overseas. She's Claudia's boss, right?
Yes.
And we talked about kind of what we wanted to do. And that's when the bylaws conversation came to be. And engaging more with the Board of Supervisors directly and all those kind of things.
She was very receptive.
Very receptive, yeah. And so part of that meaningfulness is that when we have our meetings, that we're able to turn what we learn and share that with the public and know that what we're doing is actually affecting the lives of older adults and their caregivers and adult children and all that. So just to say all that, I'm really concerned at this point that we're unable in a timely manner to get any information from the Office on Aging on information and assistance and the app and all of those things that our members are asking for, because that presentation was back in January. We still don't have that information. So I wanted to have a discussion with this group about, do we press it further? Do we want to try to create our own information, which is definitely not preferable. What do we want to do?
How can we help? Do you need to do something? Can we help out? Ease the workload or whatever?
The PowerPoint presentation, you're talking about what it's doing in January, right?
No, what I had asked Marco for is, you know, that he said, I believe that we learned that there was an old PowerPoint presentation that could be revamped so that we could just get two or three slides and get the QR code so that when all of our reps meet with city councils or give presentations at the senior center, that we're having visuals, that it's the official information.
Okay, but would you not want a more updated PowerPoint presentation that has more current information on it?
Sure.
Yeah, but yes, I would. But I guess that I'm thinking that this is probably a 4-hour project for someone.
Creating the PowerPoint.
Or updating the PowerPoint, and we can't get it.
Okay, you don't have a copy of the PowerPoint, but you're referring to a PowerPoint presentation that happened over a year ago?
There was a PowerPoint presentation in the past that I have not seen that advertised the app.
Advertised the app, okay.
Wasn't that the January meeting?
The January meeting was confusing because it was about the ADRC, which is gonna get everyone confused because we just wanna publicize the 1-800-TECH-2020 number. We don't wanna do that whole PowerPoint. So we wanted something that was briefer, tighter, that we could just tell everyone the Office on Aging has this phone number, they have this website, they have this app. Like a revamp of the brochure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be printed.
No, but if this was a QR code, this is all that needs to be on the QR code.
So that the city can put it out in their publications. And also, remember that the Board of Supervisors doesn't have this information for our conversations either, and their staff doesn't have it.
Okay. Let me talk to Marco and Claudia together. I know that it's in development, and I think that I saw an email back to you saying that it is in development.
But no timeline.
No. And they're in licensing.
The QR code only means to refer people to resources.
Right.
Along with the app. Yeah. Right. And that's what a QR code really is before.
The email that I think that you shared with me yesterday was, we're doing this whole package of things and it's part of that package. And I replied back, we don't need the whole package right now. We need these things because we want to have momentum. What my concern is, we had all these people that were excited and jazzed in January.
Yeah.
We're now going to the March meeting, and we still don't have some basic things that in an ordinary situation would only be a few hours of work.
Yeah.
Can we get that by then?
I would like to say yes.
Yeah, because if we had the QR code that just took us to that pamphlet and then any updates along the way.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. But I think it needs all three. It needs the website, the app, and the phone.
I agree.
What I'm saying is QR code is not hard to generate, and they could just generate that. So then, and if any updates that were going to happen to the pamphlet or the website, that could just happen when it happens.
Right.
But at least that way, because on my city council, when I give my updates or whatever, and I include, it goes out to the electronic, world, who subscribes to the Villapar newsletter, I can have that QR
code. The reason I'm concerned is that every day we have people that don't know where to turn for help, and this just like seems like such a huge win for us.
Yeah, and there's a lot of information, like putting on my communications hat now. Anything that we send out should always have at least a minimum of our website address on there.
Sure.
And yeah, I mean, PowerPoint presentations, letters, emails, whatever, signatures, you know, should always have the email.
Yeah.
Or the website and any.
Yeah, so 1-800 number would be great.
Yeah.
Because when you go to the website, it doesn't, it's for me, I don't, it's hard to find the link through the website for the database for the information and assistance. So anyhow, I'm really concerned about this. I think that it's something that we should track. And if we can't get the help that we need, we're going to have to think about what to do about it. Because we have our report next month for the Board of Supervisors. Are we going to say?
Well, it's a credibility thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Can't make our own QR code. Just
well, we kind of tried to do a couple of things to expedite them, and that was not preferred. So.
We're kind of like, don't do it on your own, but we're not gonna tell you what we're doing. If you do it, and then they'll go, oh crud, all right, no, use this one, right? And then they'll get this one. Credibility. Please share that. Okay, that's the real mission. I got it. That'll be clear because, you know, as an aside, we missed having a representative at the TAC meeting too, so we have to wait another 3 months. Yeah, so
just to let everyone know, we had Debbie volunteer.
Right.
She contacted TAC. TAC said, we just need a little email from the Office on Aging, and that didn't take place, so we missed the meeting.
There is, I did see a draft of that letter go.
I sent up the email.
But it didn't require a letter. It just required a, hey, yeah, Debbie's good. So that's where we're at. Any other discussion on the QR code?
Who's empowered to make these calls? I think it's got a very hierarchical.
It's Claudia. So she was out of town, and then Debbie contacted me, and then I was like, I don't think I have the authority.
She contacted me.
And then I contacted, but she said it's Claudia. So she sent it to Claudia.
But then Claudia sent me back to Pauline when I contacted her directly. So the long and short of it is we didn't get Orange County represented at that TAC meeting.
Could have very easily.
Yeah. So now we're waiting for another 3 months. But getting back to B, the QR code, are we gonna the answer that we have right now officially?
Let me do this.
Okay.
Let me talk to some people and then I will talk to you offline.
Okay.
And we'll see where we go.
Okay, great.
I'd say one way or the other, we have to. We have to do it ourselves. You didn't hear that. We'll get that done.
I'm sorry.
Well, wouldn't you? I mean, I think that the typical person would be frustrated with the situation. Yeah. So I don't think that we're out of tune here. All right. And then if we can't get it, maybe we want to meet with Renee again.
Yes.
And ask for it. All right. That kind of brings us to the next discussion item that Charlene Ashendorf brought to my attention, but several people requested it. People want a meeting recap that's universal, that's one short paragraph about what was discussed and how the Office on Aging or the Board of Supervisors or the senior centers can use this information. Charlene has volunteered to be the recapper because the person, Marianne, she... does it, but she will not share it. So
she said, we'll just look on the website.
Yeah, she said that you could Google what she wrote, but she wouldn't give it to me directly. So
why?
Because people are such a hoot. The older I get, the more amazing people are.
That's to be so easy. What's the people with?
Okay. So Charlene will do the meeting recap. What she was wondering is what would it look like? So I wanted to discuss that. My initial thoughts are we do not want to get into weeds. It doesn't need to be a technical recap. How can that information that we heard be used by a lay person to get what they need?
Summarize.
The recommendation I would make is if Charlene is doing that she has another set of eyes on it to make sure the recap is correct.
Right.
Or her understanding of it, you know.
Yeah.
Before it gets sent out. And then it should come to the OCCS. Send it out to everybody with the disclaimer that don't engage in conversations on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe I will volunteer to write the recap of the January meeting on information and assistance.
Okay.
And then that could be like a little template or a little style guide.
A style guide.
Yeah, style guide.
Mm-hmm.
So before you depart, I will do that, send it to you to get your opinion, and then we can use that as like a style guide.
Because I've been sending out stuff to you guys as kind of FYI, I BCC everyone and stuff. So,
but we don't want to send, in my opinion, as a 40-page PowerPoint that's really technical. That's not helpful.
And the person who is person who will come after me should have the ability to communicate directly with all of you without having to go through XYZ. It just confuses the issue, especially when, you know, OCCS has their fingers in so many different pots.
Why wouldn't they want to do it that way? It's so much easier for them. We did that. You would think, do they think their job's on the line or?
I'm not. What was I saying?
Wait, OCCS is not Office on Aging.
It is. It's not the Office on Aging. It's the administrative support role for the Office on Aging, for the Veteran Services, and for WET.
And that's where we get stuck because
that's
there's
where it
tiers.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we want to talk to Renee about that, give her stakeholder feedback that the structure is difficult.
So as an example of high level, right, somebody made mention of the fact that March is nutrition month, right? So a blurb about March is nutrition month and the county is doing support in ABCD. And May is older adults
month.
And so I presented that at the Irvine Senior Committee, and they changed their presentations around for their agendas for those 2 months because somehow that committee was not aware that Nutrition Month was coming and that older Americans.
June is Elder Abuse Month. That's what we did with our senior center. Like for us, we started changing our speakers to go with the different.
We used to do that too before we had our key objectives from the board.
Correct.
Yeah.
So just as an example
of
that high level kind of something.
Okay. Any other discussion on meeting recaps?
We need one.
That'll be great. Okay, action items. We have 2 appointments. The first one is Lynette
Lucitani.
I would like to love to hear more about Lynette and what city she's from.
Want me to do it?
Sure.
Oh, she's from Irvine. She volunteers as an ombudsman.
Wonderful.
For the Council on Aging.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done it for quite a while because I met her when I was there. So I don't know if it's 10 years or 8 years.
Wonderful.
She's very active in the elder community. She goes, I see her at all the meetings and everything. So
that's great.
I think she'd be
And Irvine's such a big city that maybe you guys can split things up.
Never heard of her, never met her.
That's wonderful. Okay.
So in 8 years, I've never heard of her and never met her.
Really?
All right. And then how about Barbara?
Zendava.
What a great name.
Yeah. Zendava.
Her husband's from Africa.
You think?
She hasn't worked that much with seniors, but I think she'd be a good asset. She's an educational background. She was a teacher. I don't know where she taught. She taught at Saddleback College.
Where is she from?
Where does she live?
Where does she live now? Laguna Niguel.
Oh no, Laguna Niguel. People from Laguna Niguel. It must be a very active city.
She's getting more active in senior issues because her mother's 90 and she's the caregiver and doing all the stuff.
She meets our caregiver category.
I mean, she's not an actual caregiver, but you know, she's helping her mother navigate everything.
That's considered a caregiver.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, wonderful.
All right, I'll make a motion that we accept Uchitani and Zendava as new OAC members.
Can we do each item line by line?
Bifurcated.
Oh.
So make it, because it's recording, so that way it's clear that have the two. Yeah, sorry.
I'll make a motion that we accept Lynette Pujatani to OAC.
And I'll second it.
We're in person, so we can do just aye, right?
All those in favor.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same.
I'll make a second Jesus motion for Barbara Sandava that she be appointed to OAC.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 We're all in favor.
Unanimous on both accounts.
All right, great. So then this is really convenient, Sandy, since you know them both and you are a person that now does orientations.
Speaking of that point, I did ask for telephone numbers so I could call the new people, and I haven't received that yet.
Yeah, I can give it to you.
Okay.
Did I not send it to you? No, I didn't get it. No, I haven't given it to you.
Okay. So it's kind of hard to contact them.
Okay.
These two, are they going to get a letter, or should I call them?
No, they will. You should both.
Do both.
They will get a welcome packet from OCCS.
Okay.
And with all the information that OCCS needs to process for them.
Nice.
And then you can give them a call.
Yeah. So in the future, if I could get the names of the new people and their telephone numbers or email and email, I'll call them and email them, and then we'll chat on the phone.
Okay. So you are the official reader?
Greener.
Reader.
The welcome wagon.
I can look at Walmart.
Oh, I have welcome wagons. You know, welcome wagons. Stands up Laguna Beach on the highway there. Waves.
And give me that greeter.
Welcome wagon. Do they have that anymore?
Do you have any candidates or inquiries from anybody?
Not at this point.
I was going to talk about that during my chairman part.
So how many people will we have now on the committee? Commission?
With these two, I think we're...
I think it's
32. 31 or 32.
We're
at 29 or 28. So,
and
that's
if you
plenty.
Have a, what do you say?
So I wanted to discuss that in the chair.
Taking chair reports.
Sorry.
Yeah. Stealing her thunder, Sandy.
I'm sorry.
Please,
we don't want to get out of order. Okay.
No.
Okay, 8 chair report. So, for old eight. Business, we were talking.
In order, 8 new business.
I don't have any new business.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Me, no, open.
I have old business.
Oh, we have old business.
Or maybe I have comments. One of those. So we do want to have more people join our membership. We talked about this during our last general meeting. Since then, I've corresponded with Sarmiento's office about having them help us find non-board appointed members that could apply to SCAC in their communities. So that would be Anaheim, Santa Ana, Garden Grove, that area.
Did I hear that, Sandy, you're going to do an orientation of these new members?
Yes.
I'm just planning to do it verbally because I'm on the phone.
Yeah, this
because I know I got asked by Councilman Simonoff, what am I doing? What
yeah,
do I Simonoff
and Hart need to.
Yeah, I said, well, you're going to get an orientation.
I think we start with a phone call, and if there's really a lot, then we'll go further.
Well, they're sharp. They're council, but they don't know.
Yeah.
They enjoy the meeting we had. It was a good meeting, but they really don't know.
And there'll be two different kind of like orientations. I mean, Sandy's one I think is great because it comes from a person who was on the committee who knows the drill. And then there's a welcome packet that comes from OCCS that kind of gives them, you know, here's the details on your stipend.
That's material though with no verbal?
That's material with no verbal.
But they need that.
Yeah.
They need both.
They need both.
I think they need the personal touch.
Yeah.
That's what happened when Charlene joined the Housing Transportation Committee.
She
called me and we had a long chat. And then it felt better.
Yeah.
She was talking to someone.
And they should read the bylaws as well. I mean, I know it's a pain in the butt, but they really should read the bylaws.
Is that in their packet?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they get a copy of the bylaws. They really should read that because that gives them a good idea as to what their role and responsibilities are.
As is the link for their 2 hours of ethics training.
Yes.
Which can take place in this building right here on the third floor, by the way.
Because he just did it.
I just did it.
I have to step on.
She is very sharp, by the way. I really like her.
Okay, so.
Right here.
So we still need new members. We especially need new members in parts of the county where we don't have enough representation for each senior center. We did have people volunteer at our last meeting to temporarily take some of the senior centers. I'm planning on getting a hold of someone that is, he used to be the senior center director in Laguna Niguel. He's now at Fountain Valley, Ben Dieterle. He's in charge of the Senior Center Director Association, mm-hmm. more or less, statewide, but he's really involved in Orange County. I thought it would be interesting to have some senior center directors, see if they want to join, because we're missing that kind of link.
Well, that's good.
And then also, I would like to ask him if he and some of his colleagues can tell us which older adults in their cities would be great to volunteer directly.
Great idea.
Does the Office on Aging have our application form updated? Because it's confusing with the...
It is in the process right now. I actually just gave feedback to Monica and Desiree last week on what needs to be put in there.
Oh, great. So what's the timeline on that?
Timeline?
Desiree was out the last couple of days, so she's going through approvals with communications. So I don't have a timeline right now.
So that could be like 6 months.
No, it won't be 6 months, but...
No, we need to get that up there ASAP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, within the next month?
I can't make any promises. I need to talk to Desiree about it. And she's been out.
Okay.
And can I interject this? I hope it's appropriate. When the new people come to a meeting and they fill out the guest form, do you have a spot on there for their email address?
I believe so, yes, there is.
And then I should be a column, are you interested in joining? And then I think that we should send them the application. If they check the box, yes, or however you want to phrase it.
Because we have people that are members of the public that are obviously interested.
Exactly. And I think you want to catch them when they sign in. And when we come in here for meetings, it's okay. But when we go to the Irvine office, I notice the new people don't sign in because they don't see it over there. Can you just do a little table tent that says, yes, please sign in or something so they see it? All my guests that came, they didn't know to go.
Is
to that.
Is the signage going
to
be updated with our new name?
The signage for?
Like it said staff this morning and all the signage.
Yeah.
When is that going to be?
No, we'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it after the meeting to have it up for the next
great.
Meeting. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, and then in terms of chair comments, I just think that we're at a critical stage, as we've discussed today, that we have momentum, we have people that are interested, we've put a lot of work into this, so we want to keep things tight and moving forward, and accountability is going to be, I think, an important part of that.
Is Patty's committee working on the assignments for senior centers? Is that actually an ad hoc committee?
No, it's not a committee.
It's not a committee, it's just a volunteer kind of thing that she spends.
Yes.
That woman is just terribly overcommitted. Yeah. I volunteered to do Garden Grove. She sent me back a note that said, can I do all three of the Garden Groves? No, I can't. Which one do you want me to take? And it's been crickets.
Right. And so that's maybe we want to discuss that next month that she is, I think, overcommitted. Maybe Colette would. Maybe they should flip.
Flip. Like Colette take the lead.
Yeah.
And so we should have some kind of system when the new people come in that they get a new senior center right away. I don't know how that would be, but
we could do that.
We should figure that out.
Yeah. We need to do that.
Because we're going to people all in the same general area. So.
Well, they'll have to take other places.
Howard lives in San Juan, so he should take San Juan from John.
Here you go.
And of course, Marty's up in Brea.
Yeah, he should take Brea.
Who's on Brea right now?
We didn't have one.
I don't think we have anybody.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm going to see Patty tomorrow. So I will just say.
Do you have enough information? Sorry, I'm just thinking in terms of appointments. Do you have enough information to know where we're at in terms of the OAC appointments?
Maybe that's something on your introductory phone calls. You could say, you know, one of the responsibilities is to go and interact with the senior center
City. Because we want.
Well, I did that with both my new.
Yeah.
And so it might not necessarily be there.
I already told them that. I said, we're loaded with Irvine and going to Nagel. So I said, you're not going to get.
Well, Irvine's not that far away from Garden Grove.
That's why I volunteered.
Yeah, because I know that we had Robin follow up and say, hey, I volunteered to do Santa Ana, what happened? And so, yeah, we need to have someone that has more bandwidth.
When she first came out with that list, she had two of us, Lake Forest. I said, I go there every week. I don't need another person.
Right.
So give that person
someone
one of those others.
Yeah. Okay.
And I never heard.
So I will follow. I'm gonna verbally say, Patty, we love you, but we need someone that has more time.
I love
to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bandwidth.
I want to burn you out.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Good. So now we're on to number 9, announcements. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Does anyone have an announcement that they would like to make?
I'm loving the water district. You guys have any water issues? I'm your guy.
Wait, do you cover my area?
No.
No, you don't?
He only covers River Linda.
I only cover where we have water. See, you got to import yours. That's expensive. Well, yeah, you got Mont Miguel. Of course, they have to import most of their water, too.
I have Irvine Ranch.
You got the big,
you guys have big a PFAS
problem?
We do not, because we have the largest PFAS cleaning facility in the country. We invested that early on. Our water is extremely clean because we do. Well, it is because we filter out the PFAS, and we found that there was another answering benefit. There was other contaminants that was filtered out too, which means we got to clean our filters quicker, but that's okay. Our water's extreme.
So Yorba Linda, so the announcement is that Yorba Linda has excellent water.
I have one comment or question. During the meeting, I like that we're talking about what's going on at the senior center,
yeah.
But I don't think we can do everybody at every meeting. So can we figure out a way to like rotate and do 5 people or whatever?
That's a great idea.
Because I think it's too much.
Yeah.
But I do like it.
You do a good job of keeping
it. I do too.
Track.
I think staff really likes it.
Yeah.
It's an idea.
But
do they like it?
Yeah. Maybe you want to, like, probably needs to trim that down a tad. Read gets to the week.
That's why.
That's what we want at high level. Yeah. Okay. The last announcement that I have to make is that there's something that gratefully doesn't affect us, but it's very political, and that is that there's legislation that's been introduced that the counties have the first right of refusal for operating area agencies on aging. So that's going to affect a lot of things in Northern California. It probably will be a big discussion at TAC. We're already a county operated.
What
do you mean
right
by that?
Right now there's, when you split the state in half, all of Northern California, the county doesn't operate AAAs, the nonprofits do.
Oh, well, that is huge. But the county, I take it the other half, wants to keep it to control? South County?
We need a
10:30.